What does it take to stand at the podium of the White House briefing room, defending the most controversial president in modern American history while three young children wait at home? Sarah Huckabee Sanders didn't just survive this impossible balancing act. She became the first mother to serve as White House press secretary, navigating daily battles with hostile reporters while wrestling with the same guilt every working parent knows intimately. Her journey from Arkansas governor's daughter to the center of global power reveals something deeper than political warfare. It's a story about conviction under fire, the cost of loyalty, and what happens when your faith collides with the fiercest spotlight in politics. This isn't just another Washington memoir. It's an intimate portrait of what power actually looks like when you're juggling conference calls with the president and bedtime stories, when your appearance gets mocked on national television, and when restaurant owners kick you out simply for doing your job. Politics chose Sanders at 13 when her family moved into Arkansas's governor's mansion. Her parents ensured privilege didn't breed entitlement, encouraging her to befriend trustees, inmates serving life sentences who maintained the grounds, teaching her to see people's good qualities rather than their worst moments. Her high school years at Little Rock Central carried special significance. 40 years after the Little Rock Nine integration crisis, she stood on those same steps as President Clinton and her father held doors open for those brave individuals once blocked by a Democratic governor. After graduating from Wachita Baptist University in 2004, Sanders convinced her father to let her manage his 2008 presidential campaign despite being just 24. Their grassroots operation ran on scrappy determination, holding Pizza Ranch events across Iowa, assembling a homespun straw poll presence with Hope Watermelons and her dad's band. The Chuck Norris television ad went viral, earning millions of free views. On caucus night, they achieved a stunning 9-point victory that shocked the establishment. Though McCain ultimately won the nomination, this campaign introduced Sanders to Brian Sanders, who would become her husband. When Scarlett arrived in 2012, Sanders experienced postpartum depression, feeling disconnected until her daughter's first smile at 6 weeks. By 2015, pregnant with George, she managed her father's presidential campaign, taking only 2 weeks of maternity leave and sending 2 a.m. emails while on pain medication. George became the office star, passed around between donor calls. After the campaign, Brian encouraged her to join Trump's team. She started on women and Christian outreach, but quickly became a television surrogate, defending Trump through hundreds of appearances, including after the Access Hollywood controversy. As press secretary, she battled constant working mother guilt, missing her children's moments while stressing about performance. Childcare costs exceeded their mortgage, giving her visceral appreciation for doubling the child tax credit. Yet motherhood enhanced her job, teaching multitasking, prioritizing, and weighing words carefully. She joked that handling some reporters resembled managing screaming toddlers. Sanders' days began at 5:30 a.m., responding to reporters before leaving bed. By 6:30 a.m., the president was typically tweeting and reshaping the day's agenda. After getting three children ready, she'd be in the car by 7:15 a.m., taking calls from the president, senior officials, or reporters. Senior communication staff gathered at 7:45 a.m. for meetings that were part strategic planning, part therapy session where they could speak freely before facing the day's challenges. Around noon, the team prepared through murder boards, where colleagues hammered her with difficult questions. This stressful preparation brought them closer as they approached each briefing as us against them, reporters hunting for viral gotcha moments versus their mission to deliver the president's message. The attacks were relentless and personal. Critics targeted her character, weight, appearance, and fitness as a mother. MSNBC's Nicole Wallace called her not even human and suggested she should be choked. When LA Times columnist David Horsey called her a chunky soccer mom, President Trump pulled her aside. "Sarah, you're tough, you're beautiful, and you're good at your job. That's why they attack you. Never let those offers get you down." In spring 2018, Trump's maximum pressure policy secured unanimous UN Security Council sanctions against North Korea. When Kim Jong-un threatened retaliation, Trump warned of fire and fury like the world has never seen. Sanders suggested military leaders deliver an on-camera statement. General Mattis delivered the warning, including her line about total annihilation if necessary. Afterward, he told her, "You're tough. The only job in the administration I'd want less than mine is yours." At the UN, Trump called Kim Rocket Man on a suicide mission. The diplomatic breakthrough culminated with three American hostages released from North Korea, greeted at Andrews Air Force Base in an emotional midnight ceremony. On June 10, 2018, they departed for Singapore for the historic summit with Kim Jong-un, which concluded with both leaders signing a comprehensive agreement, a triumph of maximum pressure diplomacy. In summer 2018, the Red Hen restaurant ejected Sanders from a family dinner, sparking national controversy when Congresswoman Maxine Waters called for public confrontation of administration officials. Sanders became the first press secretary requiring Secret Service protection. Her Christian faith helped her forgive attackers and avoid bitterness. When Trump nominated Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, Christine Blasey Ford's allegations emerged. Sanders helped prepare Kavanaugh with mock questioning. After MSNBC's Mika Brzezinski called her rotten to the core, communications director Bill Shein temporarily banned administration officials from the network. At a Mississippi rally, Trump questioned Ford's credibility, galvanizing Republican support for the 50-48 confirmation. At the White House reception, Justice Thomas joked about the red hen. "Next time, let me come with you and I'll set them straight." When Mueller's team requested an interview, Sanders faced a difficult decision amid horror stories of innocent staffers drowning in legal fees. Democratic prosecutors treated her with contempt despite voluntary cooperation, fixating on her slip of the tongue about countless FBI members supporting Comey's termination. When Barr's summary vindicated the president, Sanders issued the first White House statement declaring total and complete exoneration. During the UK state visit, President Trump unexpectedly suggested on Marine One that she run for Arkansas governor, offering immediate endorsement and jokingly calling her Madam Governor even before meeting Prince Charles. After prayer with Brian, she decided it was time to return home. Transitioning from the center of power to family life was jarring, from being needed by the president to ordering school supplies. Back in Arkansas, she signed with Fox News, joined the Fulbright board, and began writing. When coronavirus emerged, she and Brian founded the Arkansas 30-Day Fund for Small Businesses. As an 11-year-old visiting Yad Vashem in Israel, she wrote, "Why didn't somebody do something?" That moment taught her that evil prevails when good people do nothing. Her prayer for America, that we take a stand like generations before us and be the somebodies who do something.